Okay, well, I'd like to say good evening to everyone who's joining us, and I'd like to say welcome. And if you're not sure who I am, my name is Mel Friedman, and I've been Morgellons free for 3.5 years.
Yay!
So this is not an impossible task that you are undertaking. It just requires a lot of discipline, courage, and determination. I'd like to introduce my co-host, John Berksteiner, who I never pronounce his name right except tonight. Say hello, John, to everybody.
Hello, everyone.
And I'd like to introduce our special guest. We'll start with Monica, since M is before T or S. So say hi to everyone, Monica.
Hi, everybody.
And Teresa, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Monica, I think I'd like to start by asking you one or two questions and then let you tell what you feel your story is to all the people that are joining us tonight. How's that sound?
Sounds good. So.
Okay. First question I would have, and I have the same question for just about everybody, is how did you find the website?
I was researching Morgellons once I figured out what I had, and luckily for me, I'd actually heard about the disease disorder, whichever you prefer, probably like 20 years ago in a 2020 special. So when I saw my first fiber, like I knew what it was immediately, and so I was just researching the internet looking for somebody who had answers, and you know, I was just frustrated by a lot of the back and forth talk and just fear mongering in all the forums. And when I found yours, you're the only person that was actually providing solutions. And I'm a solutions person. I'm not about, oh my God, I'm so scared. I'm like, you know, how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to get rid of it? Because I knew that there had to be some way to get rid of it. I'm just one of those people that believes that nothing exists, you know, without its antithesis. And I knew that somebody had the answer. It was just a matter of finding it. So when I found your site and I really started reading through it and reading your story and looking at the protocol, I was like, okay, this seems viable to me. And, you know, I have nothing to lose except some money. The rest is my life. So, okay, money. That's not a big deal. So that's how
okay.
I found the site.
Okay, so then my next question before I let you tell your story is, and again, I don't think I ask everybody this, but I think I should ask everybody this, is what made you decide to try this protocol?
Well, for me, I mean, just, you know, I'm a Libra, so I weigh my options. And when I was just looking at the protocol and I was looking at what was involved in it and what, you know, all of the Logos supplements did, as well as I was already familiar with colloidal silver, so I was really interested in molecular silver and the MMS. After I did my research, I said, you know what, this is something I can follow, you know, and we should be building up our immune system anyway. I consider myself a pretty healthy person, so when I was just doing the research based upon what your protocol was, I said, you know what, I'm going to give this a try because, you know, the worst-case scenario is I'll be really, really healthy immune system-wise, but with the skin disorder. So, you know, that's what made me decide to do it. And also just, you know, reading your story and reading the testimonials. So it never occurred to me that not to do it because nobody else really had any viable answers. Everybody still seemed to be kind of scratching their heads and asking one another. And I'm like, you know, while you're doing that, you're getting worse. And that was really the thing for me, just not getting any worse.
Okay. So thanks for the answers, okay? I understand better. And now why don't you tell everybody your story and
okay.
A little bit about yourself.
All right, let's see. Well, I live in New York City, and I'm in my late 30s. And like I said, I consider myself to be a pretty healthy person. So last winter, I would say winter of 2009 into 2010 was really horrible, horrible in New York City, which is where I live. I know a few of us actually live in this area, so they can attest to the fact that it was just a really wet, wet winter, and I live in a basement apartment of a private house, and there had already been some moisture issues here in the past, but that particular winter made for an even worse spring. And I have two cats, and all of a sudden, after coming home from a weekend in the mountains, I came home and found out that there was a flea infestation, and then a bird mite infestation. And the next thing you know, the entire insect kingdom seemed to have moved into my apartment. So we got in an exterminator and killed off everything, but I felt like I was still being bitten. And, you know, I couldn't find what was biting me. And then I'm going to work, and I'm thinking there's something at work, which there may or may not have been, but at this point, it's just like everything is suspect. So this had gone on for a while, and I was using, like, the herbal remedies that I'm familiar with to deal with it, and it was making it a little bit better, but it just seemed to be getting worse. And then one night, I happened to look at my left arm, and I looked, and I saw one of those little plasticky crescent thingies with a red fiber attached to it, and I was like, oh, my bleeping God, I think I know what this is. And then that was it. That was it. It took me probably another 3 to 4 months to find the protocol and the website after that. So I was trying remedies that I knew and things, and it was helping, but nothing was obviously dying. You know, eucalyptus, you know, the rinse that I talk about in my postings of the borax with apple cider vinegar, tea tree oil, you know, these things were, on the surface was helping, but when something's inside your skin, it's really not going to do much. And things got progressively worse. I was having problems with my hair. And then, of course, the lack of sleep. And there's nothing that makes you feel more insane than not sleeping for days and days on end. And just, you know, I remember the worst particular night was, like, just sitting in a corner hysterically crying because I couldn't sleep, but I was so exhausted, and everything seemed to be biting me. So that's my story. And then, late September of last year, so I went through the entire summer, like, trying to remedy it myself. Late September of last year is when I found the protocol, and I immediately ordered it, like, didn't give it a second thought.
Okay, well, for anybody who doesn't know, Monica has been writing a thread since about the first month or so that she came here.
I started the first week, the very first week.
I don't know how I convinced her to do this, although I think I explained to her, if I'm correct, you tell me if I'm right, Monica.
Okay.
But I told you that by doing this, that it would be a new generation of people talking on a weekly basis, explaining to what others might come to expect if they decided the protocol. Is that correct?
Now, are you talking about doing this phone call, or are you talking about posting in general?
Posting in general at the beginning.
You probably did convince me a little bit, but I'm a little bit of a talker, so when I started posting, I was really doing it for myself. I had no idea that you guys were really paying that close attention to it. You're the one that brought it to my attention maybe like a month or so in, that people were actually reading it, because I had no clue. I was just really doing it for myself and to sort of journal it for myself in a place that I knew I could always refer back to. So I was really surprised.
Well, you know that I believe that people can get well on this protocol as long as they are able to do it, to be brave about it, and not to cheat with it.
Right.
Now, not everybody is going to get well. But the great percentage, so many people have gotten well. But again, I said this, and I know you know this because I call you a warrior now, both you and Teresa, because you've experimented with some of the new things that have been created by Logos as well as the original protocol.
Yeah.
But what would you tell other people? Would you tell them what I'm saying is true, that you really, you will need a multitude of properties in order to do this right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can't just treat it topically. You can't just treat it internally. Like, you have to really rearrange your life to promote healthiness, you know, from every angle, from keeping your house clean to eating clean to keeping your skin clean. Because, you know, as you purge, it can be just as painful as having it stuck in your body as purging. You know, you have to keep your skin viable and elastic, if you will, and moist so that you can continue to purge. Because the purging, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. So, I mean, you know, that's why I'm a huge fan of you know, the mixtures of the coconut oil and the olive oil and, you know, my own personal thing that I do, which is, you know, Vaseline with tea tree oil. You have to keep the skin as moist as possible. Especially.
And now you put all these new things that you've been doing in the threads as well, correct?
Yes, I have. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so people who are interested in finding some new alternatives that seem to be helping people in their HERCS process can read this and get some really good information because it's been working for everyone who's been sort of doing these new techniques. It's been making
yeah.
it
I, you know,
less severe but more constant. Is that a fair assumption?
Say that again?
Less severe but more constant.
Yeah, I think you're referring to the part where in my particular, the way that I approach it, I had been using food-grade DE or diatomaceous earth prior to finding your website. And, you know, after much discussion with yourself and John, we all figured out that that's probably why I never had the big HERCS, because the way that food-grade DE works is that it helps you to detox and is constantly scrubbing out your intestinal system. So while I've, you know, experienced, you know, HERCS-like, you know, symptoms, everything from nausea to diarrhea to headaches and bloating and things like that, I never got to the point where I was, like, wanting to kill you and curse you out for, like, 3 days of, you know, just bad HERCSing. So, I mean, I don't know if people are aware of that, but that definitely, definitely helps, for sure.
What about your diet, young lady?
Well, my diet is, I'm not extreme, but I will have to say that I did start a more alkaline diet. I use olive oil in pretty much everything. It's probably the only oil I use occasionally. I'll use coconut oil. I'm a big fruit and vegetables person. In the beginnings, I was only eating really grapefruits and green apples for the longest time. Recently, I have been able to slowly incorporate things, but I'm a believer in it. You can, you know, cook it yourself, because then you know what's in it, for sure. Low sugar to no sugar. I haven't really used. I don't believe in using anything white. No white flour. No white sugar. I haven't done that in years. As I said, slight health nut. I've always used soy milk or almond milk. So, you know, my diet's pretty clean. It's pretty clean. You know, Candida Rid does help, though, if I occasionally want to have yogurt that doesn't have, like, lemon in it but has maybe strawberries, because those do tend to have, you know, a bit of sugar in it. But I also was able to come up with my own recipes for, like, yogurt, plain yogurt, Manuka honey, which is, you know, natural antifungal. And, you know, adding some green apples into it. You just got to become creative with your eating. Find out what's clean to eat and then start becoming creative with it.
Now, haven't you put some of these recipes in your thread?
I did. I actually did one recently, which was the tomato basil salad, caprese salad. I don't know if people are familiar with it, but it's an Italian salad, and it's made with fresh tomatoes, fresh basil, which I found out basil's antifungal, antimicrobial. I don't know if people know that, with olive oil, which we already know is our friend, and some balsamic vinegar. And I, because I'm at the stage where I can, I did actually add little pieces of mozzarella cheese, fresh. But if you guys can't eat it, you know, don't. just take the cheese out and just have the salad like that. Very, very good. Very, very healthy. Like I said, I know that we become restricted on what we can eat, but I think we have to start thinking outside of the box of how we prepare the food.
Okay.
So that
is there anything else that you'd like to share before I ask the folks out there if they have any questions for you?
I think, you know, the thing that I want to share the most is just, you know, everybody talks about my attitude being really positive. And, you know, for me, it's just very simple. I want to live. So it, for me, every time, you know, I'm taking one of the pills, and yes, the pills, taking them get on your nerves after a while. No offense, John, because you know I love you. But, you know, you think about I want to live every single time. You know, I might be grumbling, but I want to live. And also just how having more gallons makes you aware of everything that you put your body through, everything that you put in your mouth. And I think one of the issues, you know, in our country is we're not conscious of what we're eating. We're not conscious of what we're doing. And when you look at how food is produced in this country, mass produced, all this unnatural stuff in it, that really is depressing our immune system, having something like Morgellons makes you go, wait a minute, what am I putting in my mouth? Like, what am I eating? Can I process this? Can I digest this? You know, where did it come from? You know, how was it prepared? What's the salt content? How much sugar is in this? Just, you know, being that aware, it's that right there, I think, is the blessing. You know, we take life for granted, and now we're at a point where we just can't do that. We can't afford it. So that's the thing I wanted to kind of leave everyone with.
Okay.
That's beautiful.
I have everyone unmuted, so if one person starts to ask a question, I just want the rest of you to wait. Everyone will get a chance to ask Monica any questions. She has the thread in the forum called Living With This for a few months. Are there any questions for Monica?
Yes, I have a question.
Go ahead. Sure. What is your name, sir?
Bill, 919.
Hi, Bill. I know you, don't I?
You certainly do.
And you did the protocol the hard way, like us Marines do, hey?
Yeah, the Herxmeyer, yeah. I had another one the other night, too, but we'll talk about that. Monica, question for you. On the fruit, everything I've read, you aren't supposed to take fruit because that has natural sugars, but a sugar's a sugar. And so when you tell me you have fruit, doesn't that kind of contradict what you're trying to accomplish here?
Well, I've been on the protocol since last October. So I, at that point, for the majority of the time that I've been on the protocol, I was having grapefruit, green apples, and lemons. So only recently, maybe in like the last month, I've been able to incorporate certain kinds of fruits, and I'm testing my body on it. And I'm also testing the reaction of my body to it. I think that's an important thing. You need to know your body. How your body works and what
I got to ask a question then, because I love bananas and oranges and I
no bananas
because of the sugar.
No, exactly. Bananas are actually pretty high.
Okay, well, pretty same high. Thing with oranges then.
Yeah, I would say if you're going to do anything, do oranges. Test it out. See what your reaction is. Also, the vitamin C in oranges helps with the Herx thing.
Okay, but oranges has a lot of sugar in it too, and compared to bananas, I think. It has
well,
a lot
you know, I here's the thing. But, this is me personally. I can't scientifically prove it, but you know that added sugar is sugar is sugar. The body can't tell any difference. I don't agree with that. I think my body does know the difference because, like for example, a banana. If you try having a banana, you'll know that your body's having a different reaction from a banana than it is, say, a grapefruit. Like, my favorite thing now is ruby red grapefruits. I eat them all the time.
Okay, but let me ask you, if you did take sugar, let's say by accident, you found out, hey, wait, this all of a sudden says sugar, what kind of reaction would you have in your body?
See, here's the thing. I use sugar in the raw. I use it. I haven't stopped using it. I'm lowering my intake of sugar and boosting up things in other places in my diet.
You're able to get away with using sugar.
I don't know what you mean by getting away with using sugar, but I've been able to use natural sugar, turbinado sugar, a.k.a. cane sugar, sugar in the raw, which is different than the white stuff. The white stuff
Everything I read about Morgellons says don't use sugar, whatever you do. They say don't use sugar. Let's see, don't...
Are you using the Candida Rid by any chance? Are you on Candida Rid?
No.
Okay, you might want to add that to your protocol. That helps. The diatomaceous.
Well, I'll tell you what, the reason why I did not go on that, because when I did a stool test and that came through, I had just minute amounts of fungus in there. So I didn't even bother with the candida. Then I stopped the candida there. I said, well, if I don't have fungus, there's no sense in taking that.
Okay, well, I actually
anyway.
Had a fungal overload, so it works for me.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, Mel, can I inject a couple of words?
Oh, no, this is a very good time for you to inject a couple of words.
Hey, Bill. Bill, this is John Bergsteiner. How are you?
Hey, John. Good. Good.
Bill, there's a couple of different dynamics when it comes to sugar. One is you may have tested negative for fungal overgrowth in your stool test, but that would be considered fairly unusual for, you know, the body of Morgellons sufferers. Most people with Morgellons definitely do have fungal overgrowth issues. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, sugar of any type does feed fungus, but hang on, am I coming in better now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I had a feeling that I was hearing some feedback. Sugar of any kind does feed fungus, but there are different, the body does respond to different sugars in different ways, and it responds to sugar when it's presented in different ways, differently.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Okay.
Can I add something here?
Yeah.
Not being a scientist, kids, one of the things I've always said, though, that everybody's body is different. All are slightly different inside. And so the thing that Monica's done because of her preferences is she's tested things on herself by a body reaction. If you do a lot of sugar, any kind, you're going to increase whatever fungus is there, even if it isn't overloaded, because you're feeding it. I now take Candida Rid as part of my vitamin regimen so that I can cheat a little. The one thing I always know in the back of my mind is I never forget about when I was sick, and I don't ever want to be sick again. But I also want to live my life. So now I once in a while cheat and I have a little Haagen-Dazs coffee ice cream again. Every once in a while I cheat and I have a slice of pizza again. But every day I take all my vitamins and my Candida Rid, and I don't worry about it anymore. But I don't do anything at all in excess, because it's just going to put me back behind the eight ball.
Exactly.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I have a question.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
This is Beverly. Do you remember me?
Yeah, I do, Beverly. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. How are you? I know you're going to say great. I have a question about artificial sweeteners.
Go ahead.
It's just whether or not they are as detrimental as actual sweetener, the actual sugar.
What do you think, John?
Artificial sweeteners are worse for you than regular sweeteners. Because they're chemically toxic to the body. And one of the features of Morgellons, you know, common descriptions of Morgellons is hypertoxicity. So just adding more chemicals to the body doesn't do anything to help. I was talking about the whole challenge with sugar and trying to explain that when you eat sugar, it's delivered with fiber, that the body responds to it in a totally different way. And so there's a difference between sugar being bad for you because it spikes your sugar up and then your pancreas goes crazy and you end up flooding the body with insulin and that causes inflammation. All that feeds into the whole syndrome of Morgellons. But believe me, and hear me loud and clear. You guys do not want to be experimenting with sugar any more than you absolutely have to, especially until you get to a place where Monica is at this point, where she's got her bioterrain has basically been restored, and her productivity is restored, her brain fog is gone. You know, she's to a place where she's in a whole different place than she was when she started the protocol.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, that because I have experienced similar
yeah.
progress. John, do you remember me? You wrote, you bought some molecular silver for me.
Yes,
and
ma'am. I do remember
you. And I thank
I sure
you so
did.
Much.
You're welcome.
That's
I'm glad to hear you're doing well.
Yes, much, much better. My skin is completely healed up. With the exception
Good.
Of, hey, with the exception of my scalp, I have a few problems there. I just cut off all my hair so that I could treat it better and more easily.
Good.
That I have what? Come a long way.
Praise the Lord. A lot of people have. I know Milk cut sugar out for a long time before he's been able to reintroduce it in small quantities.
5 years. 5 years.
Wow.
No Häagen-Dazs coffee ice cream for 5 years.
Oh, I remember that you talking about the Häagen-Dazs before. Yes.
Well, hey, Mel, did you cut out the fruit then? Did you include that?
Well, let me just tell you something. I was raised in the Keys, and I love bananas, and I haven't had a banana in 7 years, and I'll never eat another banana.
Me either. I'm done.
I mean, it's just what it is. I love them. Anyhow.
But a lot of fruits have sugar in them. Or most fruits have sugar, right?
Well, all food has sugar in it, so I don't think you can. I think you really have to be careful when you talk about that, and really understand like what triggers the Morgellons. Everything we eat has a certain amount of sugar in it, whether it's natural or not. Am I right, John?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or at least everything we eat is converted to sugar to be used by the cell in the body. Even protein, you know, is converted to glucose, which is the unit of energy that the cell uses to make energy in the body.
Well, we can't live without sugar, but it
exactly.
has to be in the right form.
Correct.
Right. Yeah, we can definitely live without refined sugar. Refined sugar and refined flour.
If
anything
it's white,
refined,
it's wrong. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
If it's white, it's wrong. Nothing starts out that way. Nothing good starts out that way.
Yeah, that's right.
Are there any more questions for Monica before we introduce Teresa S?
I have a quick question.
Go ahead, Bill.
Again.
Yeah,
hey, Monica,
all right.
On the on fruits and veggies, you know, they talk about...
Somebody's...
What's that?
Somebody's phone in the background is beeping, and I don't want to mute everybody out. So if you have some background noise, cover your phone while someone's talking, that's all. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay. You know, I talked about you should really buy organic with this fruit and veggies. And, you know, I do limited amount because, you know, because of the expense. You know, you can
right.
go out and buy a rotisserie chicken for $5, and you go to Whole Foods and try to get a chicken that's $20. And, you know, how much of that do I want to do? And the same thing with some of the veggies, too, especially things like pepper. You know, they're so expensive. So, you know, I buy as much as I can organic, but what do you do as far as that? Do you do mostly organic or not?
I do both.
Okay.
I mean, but, you know, I think one of the things to remember in terms of, like, your food is that, especially like fresh vegetables or fresh fruit, that you can, you know, use your MMS to clean things. You can't really control all the time what kind of pesticides and things it's been exposed to, but you can always clean it. So that's what I personally do. And also I use fresh lemon juice a lot. Because, you know, that's also our friend, lemon juice.
Mm-hmm. Right,
so.
Exactly.
I think you've also talked about that as well in your thread, living with this for a few months, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I, you know,
so
I do
all
this
care,
but I don't think it's going extreme because, you know, it'll make you crazy. Between the cleaning and the eating, it'll make you crazy. So, you know, find what works for you, and when it really does work for you, just, you know, keep going.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there any more questions for Monica? Okay.
No, I had a couple of questions.
Okay. Oh.
Hey, Monica.
Yeah?
I wanted to ask you, what's been the most difficult part of your healing journey so far?
What's been the most difficult part of my healing journey so far? Probably just, I would say, just, and it was probably before I started the protocol, the lack of sleep was really, really hard. That was the most difficult part. Just not sleeping and constantly being bitten, I think, or whatever the heck that was, just the constant feeling of being stabbed by something from inside my skin and not being able to identify it, you know, that would be the worst thing, not knowing what it was. The best thing that happened was when I saw I don't have lesions. I should probably mention that. I don't have lesions, and I didn't think I had fibers, but, you know, like I said, my postings, I took a lint roller, like one of those pet hair remover thingies over my arm, and it was covered in microfibers. So I think there's a lot of people walking around thinking they don't have fibers because they're not the big hawking ones coming out of a lesion, but I suggest people go and buy one of those lint rollers and just rub it over a place that itches for you and look and see if there's fibers staring back at you. That was probably, you know, the most horrific thing for me, not knowing what it was. That was the worst part. Everything else, I tell you, you go through it, but every purge means I'm getting better. You know, every moment that you're bloating or you're in the bathroom for the millionth time, you know you're getting better, even if it's not the most pleasant experience. At least I'm getting better. I heard that, Mel. At least you're getting better. So that would have been the most unpleasant thing, not knowing and just, you know, itching and being bitten and tired and not knowing. Yeah, that would be the worst.
Wow.
I got a question on Monica, when you, so if you take those lint rollers, I use those all the time. Well, not so much anymore, but.
Oh, no, I still do.
but I still have scratching at the arms and legs and so forth. So you're saying if I rub that lint roller over, I have those microfibers.
Are you using MSM sulfur by any chance, Bill?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, so when I started using that, I was experiencing less inflammation and therefore less itching. When I itch now, it's usually me purging. I notice that, you know, as you're purging, fibers, they tend to be itchy. And it's a different kind of itch than when it's, you know, coming from the inside of your skin and you want to, like, rip it open. The fibers is just like, oh, it's annoying and feels like something invisible is on you. Try it. Try the lint roller thing and see what you find there. And it definitely helps. It is a relief because there's just less crap on you to irritate your skin.
Okay, my question is, you said those are microfibers. Are those visible to the naked eye?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
They are. I wouldn't have known had I not gotten a lint roller. I would not have known.
Can I make an interjection here? This is Beverly.
Go ahead.
I don't mind, sure.
Radio Shack has a handheld microscope that's about $12. You put these little fibers underneath the light, and you can see them just as clear as day.
Well, I'm African-American, so it's kind of hard to see it on my skin.
Pardon me?
I'm black. It's hard to see it on black skin.
I put it on a piece of white paper.
Oh, well, okay. Well, they're that tiny. It's hard to transfer them there. But, you know, I'm sure that information will be helpful to someone. I just don't think that it would have worked for me under the circumstances.
they're very, it's very an edifying experience to see things that you didn't know were there.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Monica? Okay. I'm going to introduce another young lady who's probably on the protocol for just 3 or 4 weeks less than Monica.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a thread called Experiencing Less Itching on Me and the Dogs. Information, please.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there, Teresa?
Yes.
And I think if it's okay, I'd like to ask you a couple of quick questions before I let you tell your story.
Sure.
And they're basically the same questions that I asked Monica, so forgive me for the repetition. How did you find the website?
Well, I found it from much searching. Again, it's similar to Monica, finding just intensive searching on the web and going to forums and being scared out of my wits and not finding solutions. And because I'm a solution person, I knew there had to be an answer. And when I put up Morgellons Cure, yours came up, you know, first on Google. So I immediately, you know, went in to see what it was all about.
Okay. And what made you decide to try the protocol?
Because you got well, and you're the only person that I had heard got well. And that was what I was looking for. I wasn't looking for a temporary fix. That wasn't an option. I wanted somebody who got well. And from reading your story and reading the other stories, listen, if you could get well, I can get well. And that was it for me. I wanted this thing gone, and I still want it gone. Having it and dealing with it, you know, it's like being a little bit pregnant. No, I want it gone.
Okay, well, you know, that's exactly what you told me in the first conversation we ever had.
Absolutely.
I remember you said, if you can do it, I can do it. And that's the kind of attitude that I've always tried to tell people that I really felt they needed, you know. Anybody can do it who really wants to get well enough and is willing to make the sacrifices that are necessary.
Right.
So, without any further ado, why don't you tell people your name and where you part of the country you're from and your story.
Okay. I'm Teresa S. on the forums, and I am in Brooklyn, New York. I'm in my late 40s, and I have 3 dogs, as I always talk about. And when Mel has graciously put a picture of one of them up on his website. So basically what happened to me...
Did I put a picture of the dog on the website? What does the dog take that keeps the dog young, frisky, and running around like crazy?
Well, all 3 of them, thank you very much, are bouncing off the ceilings because of the MMS. So I do believe at least the 2 older ones have Morgellons. But they get MMS, and they get a lot of the Logos nutritionals. I put in one of my last posts that I'm always squirting something in their mouth or putting a Logos pill down their throat, and they're just rolling their eyes at me now, but they know the deal. You know, they just go with it because they have no option. So they're not on exactly the same protocol I am on, but they're taking a lot of the same things I am.
Why don't you go ahead and tell your story now?
Okay. Back in, I can't really remember if it was early summer or late summer. I remember more specifically in the late summer. I have a house and a garden, and I've, for a gazillion years, gardened without gloves. And I remember going into the garden, and I was gardening, and I came back in the house, and my hands were so intensely itching. Now, I have allergies, so I figured, okay, I touched something, maybe it's poison ivy. Okay, I'll just take something, and it'll go away. And so it started in my hands with the intense, intense itching, like I wanted to rip my skin off itching. And then I noticed it went to different parts of my body, that intense itching. And because I already have allergies and I was already on allergy medication, I just took more allergy medication, not thinking that it was anything other than allergies. And then I would say in the late fall, early winter, my face was the worst place. I mean, I started researching it. I remember being at the sink one day and feeling something biting me. And so I thought for a while I had fleas because I have three dogs. So I called the exterminator in, and he treated, and then I thought it was mites. And, you know, so I had an exterminator come in, and then I realized sooner or later that I was seeing a lot of these sesame seed-sized specks all over the floor. And I even showed the exterminator, and he was like, well, that's not a bug. I don't know what this is. So then that's when I started to research black specks coming from skin. And eventually it led me to discovering that it was Morgellons. My face was intensely itchy. I was so itchy. Like, I'm African-American. My face was, like, red from the itchiness and just from scratching, and no matter what I would put on my face, it wouldn't stop the itchiness, even with the allergy medication and the lack of sleep, because I just felt like things were crawling on me. And I would look and I would see specks, but I wasn't seeing anything like a bug. It was specks. So, again, that's what really led me into discovering that I had Morgellons. And at that point, I somewhere along the line found your website, got in contact with you. At the time, you know, you gave me a call, and you said, well, the first thing you need to do is the MMS and the molecular silver. And I would say within 24 to 48 hours of just doing those two, the intense itchiness stopped by maybe 50%. So that was a godsend, because not sleeping and not really having an idea about what this was, and the just the mental insanity that was going on in my head, really gave me relief. So once I started on that, that helped a lot. And then maybe a month or two later, you sent me the protocol, and I was able to start on the protocol, and my life has been vastly different. But what I want to say is that for me, my story is different from Monica's in that I had to go extreme. My diet before I started this was KFC, McDonald's, and 2 liters of Coke a day. I had diabetes. I had allergies. I had depression. I had anxiety. I had a lot of things going on with me. I was 100 pounds overweight. My mother died previously 3 years ago, so I was going through an intense grieving process. And I think all of these things helped suppress my immune system, which allowed for this pathogen or whatever you want to call it to take hold in my system. So for me, the first thing I did when I started was I went extreme, because I was so intensely terrified of everything. I knew that diet was a part of it, so I just went green. I cut out, innately, I cut out all sugars. I just went green in the beginning with no meats. So I did that for about 2 months. And thus, I had a really rapid weight loss, which was fine for me because, again, I was 100 pounds overweight. That's not why I did it. I did it for my body, but I lost a lot of weight. And then progressively, as I got on the protocol and started to incorporate the products, I adhered to the no white flour, no white rice. I only do brown rice, millet, and quinoa. That's it. I do all green leafy vegetables cooked and fresh. I do no sugar. The only sweetener I have is pure stevia. I don't do sugar of any kind or artificial sweetener. In the very beginning, I was doing just lemons and limes, and that's just so I could have a beverage. I freshly juice my lemons and limes with each, you know, glass that I'm going to have. That was it for my fruits. I didn't do fruits. And the only fruits I have now is because I've been on this a couple of months, is green apples and grapefruits occasionally. And I do meats, and that's basically it. I had to go hardcore. So for me, my journey was different because I was dealing with several things at the same time. And so, you know, and I told you this, Mel, from the beginning. You tell me what to do and I'll do it. And that's what you told me to do, and that's what I did. So I went hardcore.
That I suggested, okay.
No, no, no. I said, tell me what to do. I'm not reading all this stuff. Just tell me what to do. Because I was terrified. I was terrified. I was like, if I have to live with this, I'm out of here because I can't do this. So you told me what to do, and I did it because that was my lifeline. I had to grasp on to what I knew was going to work. And I had to keep it simple for myself. And that helped me tremendously because with the diabetes and the allergies and the depression and the anxiety and everything else I was dealing with, going hardcore eliminated all that stuff. So for me, it's not just about the more gallons. It's about my whole life, my whole health just changing because I made those drastic changes in my diet. I'm not on diabetes. I'm not on any medication anymore. And this is like under 6 months. You know, I've lost 75 pounds. No more depression medication. No more anxiety medication. No more diabetes medication. No more allergy medication. I had asthma and bronchitis. I'm not on those medications anymore. So I can tell you from my own personal experience that going hardcore worked for me. Just not for the, you know, just not only for the more gallons, but for all the other issues that I had. So I'm really ecstatic about that. I think the other thing that I really want to talk about is the mental aspect of this. I think the mental aspect is more so important than anything else because if you don't have it together mentally, you're not going to be able to follow the protocol. You're not going to be able to eat clean. You're not going to be able to get through this thing because I really believe the yeast and fungus or whatever you want to, you know, whatever combination of these things are, trigger the cravings for the sugar because, you know, that's how they survive. So, I mean, I could eat, you know, sugary ice cream and this, that, and the other all the time, not realizing that, for me, I personally believe that, you know, they get to a certain point and they start triggering a response in your brain, and that's why you crave this stuff. And so it wasn't until I put the sugar down totally and was able to get these things under check that I realized, wow, I don't even have cravings anymore. Look at that. This really is connected to yeast and fungus. And I could see the stuff in the store, and I'm like, you know, yeah, I could have that, but I don't even want it. I mean, it was a big thing for me to even have green apples and the grapefruit. And I thought, oh, my God, if I do that, that's just going to open the door. But you know what? Since I have the yeast and the fungus under control, I've had green apple and a grapefruit, and I'm like, it's okay. It's not a big deal for me anymore because I know the yeast and the fungus are under control now and I'm not craving that sugar like I was in the beginning.
Okay, one quick question.
Sure.
Are you taking Candida Rid?
Oh, absolutely. I'm taking Candida Rid. I'm taking Magnetizyme. I'm taking anything John throws at us. But those are the staples, Candida Rid and the Magnetizyme and the olive leaf extract.
Continue. I'm sorry, but
no, it's okay.
I knew you were taking Candida Rid, and again, I'm all better. And because I would want to cheat on occasion on my diet, I decided just to make it part of my daily regimen.
Yes, and it will be part of mine too. Absolutely. Well, Logos is going to be part of my lifetime daily regimen anyway, so I made that decision a long time ago. And when I was talking about with the mental thing, I think, you know, for me, I had to get to a point where I said being sick is not an option. Having this is not an option. You know, so whatever I have to do to get rid of this, this is what I'm going to have to do. The biggest thing I found for me was not the protocol, was not the food, it was my ego. It was the mental aspect of this. You know, and you really don't realize how much your mental comes into play until you have to deal with something like this. You know, it's truly something that will, it has opened my eyes, because all the things that I want to do or would like to do, I have to tell myself like a kid, no, we're not doing that. You know, yes, you have to take your protocol every day, regardless. No, you can't eat the way you did before, regardless. And you might have people around you that are like, you know, let's go for pizza. No. Well, can't you? No. Well, why? Because I'm not doing that anymore. So it has such a rippling effect that it's really amazing, because, you know, people look at me and they are like, okay, you lost 75 pounds. What's wrong with you? Nothing. I'm eating clean. That's not the answer they want to hear. Oh, you've got something. You know, you got cancer. No, I'm eating clean. You know, I'm detoxing and cleansing my body. And when you don't eat junk, this is what happens. So it's been a really interesting journey, but I can't say it's just been about the, you know, just the eating. This will encompass, if you allow it to, every aspect of your life, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And I don't think you can do this journey without fully delving into all of them. And so it's been very eye-opening, and it's really been a rewarding journey too, because, you know, I talked about in one of my posts the rebirth that happens. It's almost like you die to your own old person, and you're reborn a new person if you allow that process to happen. So I think getting a handle on it, for me, the mental aspect is so, so, so important, because there is so much fear and there is so much horror stories out there. I had to stay off the internet for a long time. I mean, I would come in, read your post, read Monica's post, read John's post. I had to really limit myself, because I would read the stuff and it would make me anxious and depressed and just, and you don't need that. You can't be in that space right now. You need strength.
I always said that everyone who follows this protocol has to get brave.
Absolutely. And you absolutely have to. And however you find that, that's how you have to do it.
Is there any other thing you'd like to say before I ask John if he has any questions, and then we allow the audience?
Sure. In the getting brave part, and, you know, just feeding yourself mentally, you're going to have to, you know, for me, it was like reading, listening to a lot of positive things. You know, I had to limit what I listened to on TV, on the radio, doing a lot of stuff, you know, audio books. I had to keep my mind occupied and focused on the positive. The prayer, the Reiki, the emotional freedom technique, which is the EFT or tapping. I had to reach out for all those things that would help me stay on this path and help me stay on this path strongly. Because my thing was, I just wanted to get up under the bed and not come out. And that's not an option. You know, especially when you have friends and family who either don't believe you, or because they don't have it, it's kind of hard for anyone who does not have this to grasp. I got stuff coming out my skin. And they're like, dude, really? What are you talking about? So, and you go into the doctor, and they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. We're going to send you to the psychiatrist now. So when you're faced with all of these things that are telling you you're crazy, yeah, you feel crazy. So you have to really, for me, I had to really start to work on my mental body, you know, my mental side, in order to really get through this whole process. And I think that's just as, if not more important than everything else, because that's what's going to keep you propelled in this process.
Thank you. John, do you have any questions?
John? Maybe we lost her?
Hello?
John, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I was talking, but my line was muted.
Okay.
I would just like to thank both of you ladies, because y'all are pretty amazing people. Mel refers to y'all as a new wave of warriors, and I think a lot of that is really just completely embodied by the last part of what you just said. Teresa, there's a scripture near and dear to my heart. The Apostle Paul is talking to the body of believers in Rome, and he tells them to be no longer conformed to the patterns of this world.
Amen.
Transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Absolutely.
If we've witnessed anybody do that, it's been you two ladies.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Inspirational. Yeah, it's very inspirational. So,
you know, sometimes
we thought.
I'm sorry. Please go ahead, John.
Okay.
Sorry.
We thought it would be really be cool for people to get to hear you guys, hear you speak from your hearts, and see who these wonderful ladies are that keep posting and sharing their journey. And I want to thank you as well for that, because it's not easy to do, to be as regimented as y'all have, and just to be that dedicated to sharing your journey. It's an amazing thing to witness, and I thank you for it. But my question for you, Teresa, is just quite simply, what have you learned as a result of your struggle and, to get where you have?
What have I learned? That nothing is bigger than God. Nothing. Nothing on this earth is bigger than God. And when I turn this and anything else over to Him, all things are possible. Because this was not just me doing it. I've had to turn my ego over to Him. I've had to turn my will over to Him. I've had to follow instructions. I've had to follow directions. I had to go against, you know, what my body wants to do, you know, what I've been doing to my body. I've had to, like, completely, and innately, I knew these things. But, again, because of the grieving process and the depression and getting caught up in life and all this other stuff, I was not taking care of myself. And I knew better. You know, innately I knew better, but I wasn't. And so this was like God's little wake-up call, not little. This was God's wake-up call saying, you know what, you're not getting the message, so let me help you. And I really think this is a blessing. I know that sounds kind of wackadoodle to say that, but for me it's been a blessing because I've had to get on track. I can't play the way I did before with my food and with my mental energy and with my spiritual energy either. I can't play the same way I did before or not live consciously. That's probably the better way to put it. I can't live unconsciously anymore. I have to be now aware. You know, I have to be awake about everything that I do. And I think that's the thing that, you know, we get caught up in we just walk through life unconsciously. And, you know, we deal with the consequences as they come. And, you know, well, you know, so what? I got diabetes. Okay, I'll pop a pill. You know, so what? I got allergies. Oh, I'll pop a pill. You know, and that's how I lived my life. And so now that's not an option for me, because living unconsciously is not an option for me anymore. So I think that has been the greatest blessing, knowing that, you know, I've been given this gift, and I can look at it as a gift or a curse if I wish, and it, to me it's a total blessing. So it's I think, opened a lot of doors. It's opened my eyes, and I think in a year from now, I will be in such a vastly different place. You know, I'm just so looking forward to it. You know, the symptoms will be gone, but it's not just about the Morgellons, as I said. You know, my health, my whole body will be so totally different that I just can't wait.
Yay.
I can't either.
Okay, are there any questions from anyone out there for Teresa? Okay. John, would you like to say anything at this time?
Well, you know, I thought that I might take a few minutes and go over some of the new things that we've brought to bear, but the hour is getting late, and I'm thinking maybe we should use the next conference call for that.
Okay.
But I do want to urge everyone to take a look and look at the tools that have been made available that are quite amazing. They really are, and probably the most helpful of those have been mentioned several times tonight. The Candida Red and the Magnificine were not part of the original protocol, but they really. They didn't exist, so they couldn't be, but they should have been, and they should be, because they're that foundational to supporting the systems in the body and repairing the bioterrain. But I'll talk more in your next conference call about the products mail, because the hour's getting late. I think we're going to extend beyond people's attention span.
Okay, does anybody out there have any questions before I say goodnight to everyone?
Yeah, I have a question. I have a question for John.
I do,
John. On your the medication that you have and so forth, herbs, on there it doesn't say anything about taking it with food or taking it without food. And I notice when I look at some others, they'll have take with food or take after a meal or something. Are any of yours that you would recommend? I take everything with the food. Than any of those you would recommend with taking without food?
Well, I would always recommend taking multivitamins, food, like thymic formula, which is part of our protocol, definitely want to take with food. Obviously, the digestive enzymes are designed to be taken with food. It depends on who you ask as to whether probiotics should be taken with or without food. But
Right. Yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
My position on that is that God intended for us to receive our probiotics through our food. And if we were eating the way he intended for us to, we'd be getting probiotics. If we weren't eating food that was manufactured.
Okay.
But Magnificine is a enzyme that is not designed for digestion. It's designed for cleaning your house. Clean your body, you know, your temple.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be taken in between meals. Anytime you take an individual amino acids, you should take them on an empty stomach, because if you take them with protein, then the protein competes.
Wait, run that by me again. What was that one? Anytime you take
any
what?
Kind of individual amino acid, like L-glutamine or any kind of amino acid. A lot of people have taken theanine because it has natural properties for
anti-anxiety and so forth. That's one of the things in our sleep aid, theanine. But for the most part, you can things can be taken with or without food. You know, the things that should not be taken with food or with our products would say that. They would say to take on it to stomach. But they're few and far between, those products are.
That magnificine, how many times a day do you think that should be taken?
Well, it's a 90-capsule bottle with a month supply, so it's designed for three a day. But we're finding that a lot of folks are getting great results taking just two a day.
Okay. I think I mentioned to you, or else the person that works for you there, that I also have that H. pylori, which I just found out I have. And so in my case, should I increase on that? Because I know the message you gave her to tell me is the magnificent would be good for that.
Well, magnificent is good. Is actually not going to go after the H. pylori directly, but it's good for reducing inflammation and for reducing scar tissue and accelerating wound healing. So if you got H. pylori and it's attacking the lining of your gut and causing you to have ulcers, for example, the magnificent accelerates the healing of those ulcers and reduces any scar tissue that's related. But the flora, the probiotics are what's so important to take in good quantities if you've got H. pylori. That's the essential flora.
Right. May take that now. Okay.
May I ask a question?
Certainly.
Yes,
who
ma'am.
Is that?
This is Pamela.
Hi, Pam.
Hey, Pammy.
How are you, John V?
I'm good. How are you?
Hi, ladies. Ladies, congratulations on your journey. And Teresa, congratulations to you. That's a blessing.
Thank you.
Welcome, honey. I'm good. I wanted to ask you a couple questions about lymphatic, moving the lymph system along and things. I know with the typical Morgellons patient that the pathways become blocked. I know I'm looking at the ingredients on the Candida Rid. I know it's just excellent for fighting the yeast and the fungus. I know that then we deal with the lymph system. So I'm wondering, John, if any of the products in the Candida Rid or the Magnificyme are helping the lymph system and helping with those who in the population have a problem with swelling in their lymph system to release toxins. I know typically with the head problem that can indicate toxins like mercury within the body holding in these toxins and things.
Yes.
How does Magnificyme help with that, or are you going to come up with a new product to help also, like a homeopathic, to help with the lymphatic drainage or the mercury problems that we're seeing?
Well, there are homeopathics out there that claim to promote lymphatic drainage, but the fact of the matter is the best way to promote lymphatic drainage is to get one of those small trampolines and spend some time on it daily.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing on the planet that's more effective at moving lymphatic fluid and detoxing the body and promoting the exchange of fluids in the cells, getting out the toxins and bringing in the fresh nutrients. In fact, that's what NASA uses to rehab their guys when they come back from space and they've been in a weightless environment all that time. They put them on these little trampolines, not only to restore the tonality of their muscles, but also to detox them and to promote lymphatic drainage.
Yeah, when I talked to my lymph technician, I had some of the lymphatic treatments with the LymphStar Pro, and she said that is even better than running, because when you're running, all of the lymph on your feet are pounded, and it's too harsh of a motion, so that the trampolines or the rebounders should be, the kind that move with your feet real well. I agree. But what about the addressing with the I'm prayerfully asking this, of the mercury and the toxins in that case.
Yes. Well, there's a probably 30% of the products that are part of our protocol and the ones that have been added are aimed at promoting not only the detoxification pathways in the body, but cellular communication pathways in the body, the methylation pathways. But I have not introduced a product to bind, to actually go after and bind and help people reduce mercury levels in the body.
I'm sorry. They're not even, it's not even just as they look at it, the mercury, but also plastics, the plastic beams in the porphyrins in the bridges and the dental work that is put into the mouth too.
Exactly, yes. And that's why I haven't introduced a heavy metal detox, because what I'm working on is one that will be a much broader scope detox for heavy metals and the polycyclic aromatic compounds and all those things and plastic and so forth. So that's on my front burner actually.
Good, cool. I knew that would be the case. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for letting me talk, Mel.
You're welcome, and to hear from you. Are there any other questions out there?
Yeah, this is Bill, and I was wondering if I could ask John a question.
Okay, now, this is Bill, a.k.a. Thomas, right?
Correct. You got it right, right.
With our other Bill.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, John, listen, I've been on the protocol for about 3 weeks. And I think it's the products and everything are great. The only problem that I have is with the Magnificel is there's a warning on there stating that it had kidney problems, not to take it. And I do have some issues with my kidneys. And so I was wondering, is there something that product with, or is it going to have that big of an impact if I don't use it?
I would suggest you do some things as an alternative if you've got serious issues with your kidneys. The problem is the magnesium. You have to be careful taking magnesium if you've got compromised kidney function. So what I would do to replace Magnificel without magnesium, I think the best thing to do it would be just to either reduce the dose of it or eliminate it entirely. But I wouldn't want you to replace it with calcium, because that's the whole problem it's trying to prevent is calcification in the body. And unfortunately, most people are deficient in magnesium, but in your case, you got to be careful with that, because you can't overtax your kidneys with too much of it.
Right.
Did you feel worse when you took it?
Yeah. Did I do what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Did you feel worse when you took it?
Yeah, what happened was when I first started taking the vitamins, I mean, I felt great for about the first 7 days. And then in my lower back, my kidneys started aching. And I've had kidney function tests, and they don't reveal anything wrong. But whenever I take antibiotics, or if I've in the past when I've taken vitamin supplements, I've had a lot of pain in my lower back.
What did they say is wrong with your kidneys?
Well, what happened was 20 years ago I had a drug overdose, and I actually damaged my kidneys.
Okay. Interesting. Bill, we should probably get together another time and talk about this some more, because I may have some suggestions for you to ask your doctor about.
Okay. All right.
All right, John, why don't you give him an email address so he can contact you?
It's real easy, john@logosnutritionals.com.
john@logosnutritionals.com?
Yeah, nutritionals with an S on the end.
Okay.
john@logosnutritionals.com. If you'll email me your phone number, I'll call you, and there's a couple of things you might want to ask your doctor about. It depends on what particular type of damage you have. So rather than going into all that now, I figured it'd probably be best if we just do it one-on-one.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, one last call. Are there any more questions out there? Okay, then I'd like to close by saying, first, thank you very much to the girls. Monica, Teresa, thank you. God bless. And
thank
keep
you,
it
Bill.
Up.
Thank you, John.
Thank
you.
You're
welcome, precious.
And I'd like to say thank you for all of you who have attended. If any of you need additional information or attention, you can email me. My email address I know you all got. So say good night, God bless, and let's all get well.
Amen to that one.
Never, never give up hope.
Amen.
No.